Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. On yesterday's broadcast, we began looking at ways we can overcome spiritual hindrances. And the book of Nehemiah is so rich in giving us understanding of the strategies of the enemy, and also, perhaps even more importantly, how to withstand them, how to be victorious in spite of how the enemy might be attacking. The Word says we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. And beloved, every time you really purpose to move on in God, you know, the enemy always wants us to be complacent. If we can just kind of relax and find a comfort zone and just say, well, I'm going to praise God and just believe God for His blessings and believe God for His faith, and just walk in the goodness of the Lord. Well, if we're not doing anything to continue to fight the good fight, to press our way in to spiritual maturity, because that's the plan and purpose of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has the task, as you hear me if you're a regular listener, of perfecting the saints, of getting us into the place spiritually where we are conformed to the very image of Jesus. Now, that's impossible in our natural strength, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do it. We can mortify the deeds of the flesh, which are constantly at war with the things of the Spirit. So at any time when we really purpose and we really decide we're going all the way with God, you could be certain that the enemy is going to fight. What have we seen thus far? Well, on yesterday's broadcast, I laid a foundation for what was happening in the opening pages of the book of Nehemiah. He received word of the condition of Jerusalem. It grieved him terribly. He wept, he prayed, and fasted before the Lord. And because of that, he made a request to the king, and amazingly, this heathen king granted his request, excused him from the responsibilities as his personal cupbearer, and went to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. When he arrived, we see that there was immediate opposition. We see that Sanballat and Tobiah, they began to oppose him. It said in verse 10 of chapter 2 that it grieved them exceedingly that someone was even interested about the welfare of the children of Israel. And once he arrived, he took a survey of the situation. He went out by night, reviewed the walls, the gates, and saw what the actual literal condition was with his own eyes. You know, he'd heard a report. Men of Judah had come to him, but he wanted to see for himself. He wanted to know what was needed. He speaks to the rulers, and they respond very positively. But we want to see what occurs when we want to move on in God. Whatever God has given to us to do, we know the enemy will oppose it. In this case, they had names, and sometimes he will use literal physical vessels, humans, such in this case as Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah his servant who was an Ammonite, and Geshem who was an Arabian, and their first attack was ridicule. It says they laughed us to scorn and despised us. And so, beloved, I want to share with you the types of opposition that Nehemiah faced, and perhaps you might be able to relate and apply to your own personal life. There were, first of all, the willingness of the people was immediate, but there was also an immediate attack of the enemy to withstand them. There was ridicule, bitter feelings, and false accusations. And so we see in verse, I'm going to read verse 220, Nehemiah's response to this ridicule. Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. So there are some of you that are listening because of your stand for the Lord, and you may have done nothing to incite it, nothing to encourage it. It's just because, beloved, of who you are in God, you will face ridicule. And what we do at a time like that, we should do as Nehemiah did. He overcame by his confidence in God. I shared with you verse 20. He knew that God had called him to do that present task before him, even though it was a great and a mighty one. And he had confidence. He had faith because he saw how the Lord had turned the heart of a heathen king to prosper his cause. The local residents really opposed everything that he was trying to do. In fact, the very name Sanballat means strong. And so first we see there was ridicule. Now, I won't take time really to read from that third chapter, but we see that there was a great unity, there was enthusiasm, and it gives specific examples how everyone all worked together to rebuild the walls. It shows how various individuals, the son of Haram and Hashub, the son of, I can't even pronounce name, they repaired the other piece and the tower of the furnaces. So he's very specific in giving credit to all those who are responding. But when ridicule failed, then we see that the second attack was conspiracy. And to do that, now we have to go to the fourth chapter. I'm going to share verse 1. It came to pass when that Sanballat heard that we builded the walls, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break it down, their stone wall. And so what we see in verse 4, Nehemiah is praying, hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Cover not their iniquity, let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So we built the wall, and the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Notice his response. He actually said, they've provoked the Lord to anger. How could he say that? Because he knew he was in God's will. He knew that no matter how the enemy was hindering and fighting, they were now advancing this to the entire army of Samaria. But he knew that this was God's will and God's plan. And so there were bitter feelings. There was wrath and contempt. And yet, this attack was overcome by prayer and by hard work. We see that he prayed, he said, cover not their iniquity. And in verse 6, the people had a mind to work. So regardless of the intensity of the strategies and attacks of the enemy that might come against you, you need to be encouraged that the more the enemy fights, the more committed you have to be in prayer, as well as to obeying whatever it is that God has called you to do. Not to faint. Faint not. And know that having done all, stand therefore. Sometimes the enemy will fight ferociously, but don't be moved out of your position. And then there's another attack that comes after wrath and contempt, and that's conspiracy. Here we see the enemy joining forces, and there's power in unity, beloved. That's true in the enemy's camp. That's true in the camp of the Lord. I'm going to be reading verses 7 through 8 in chapter 4, and here we see out and out warfare. Let me read this for you. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. We see now it's just not a few individuals, it's the whole area, surrounding area, the inhabitants. And in verse 8, it says, they conspired. Now we see a conspiracy coming together. All of them conspired to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Now, what happens? Well, if you feel like you're in out-and-out warfare, beloved, we need to respond as Nehemiah did. He responds by prayer, by perseverance, and by setting up a guard. And beloved, Jesus said that we needed to pray, we needed to be watchful, and so we need to put on the whole armor of God. We need to take authority over the works of the darkness. We need to take that shield of faith, which will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. We need to stand our ground. We need to resist the enemy, and he will flee from us. We need to use the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. Let's read what Nehemiah said in verse 4:9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And beloved, we see that Jesus himself commended prayer and watchfulness. Watch therefore and pray. He said the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And we need to do that naturally and spiritually. When the enemy learned that ridicule had failed, they became angrier and planned war. Well, my time has again just flown by, and I just pray that you're going to be able to apply these things to where you may be at right now in your life, if you're in great spiritual warfare. My time is gone. I must bring this broadcast to a close. Thank you so much for listening. I love you, my spiritual family. I invite you to tune in tomorrow. The announcer will give our contact information. Until then, this is Sister Glass May saying, God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,